The car business is rapidly changing, and modern car dealers are meeting the demand. I'm Michael Cirillo, and together we're going to explore what it takes to create a thriving dealership and life in the retail automotive industry. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with subject matter experts that are designed to help you grow. This is the Dealer Playbook. All right, in this episode of the Dealer Playbook podcast, I'm sitting down with long time coming, Mr. Dylan Vanas. Did I say it right?
Dude, you got it.
I was like, I just asked you how to pronounce it. And then 27 seconds later, I'm like, did I miss it?
Dude, I think your name is probably harder to say than mine.
What's your take on my name?
So Michelle, no, I was joking. Michael, see, I got you there. Cirillo,
hey, perfect.
Okay,
first crack. I know people go people. I love what's that type of that personality type where they went to Europe once and then they have to pronounce it. They're like, is it Cirillo? Because I spent 12 hours in a train station in Italy. Like,
yeah, dude, that's funny. Or like, you know, I've got friends that they'll hear a podcast once and they'll start pronounce. So like, there's this thing called Kratom. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's like Joe Rogan used to talk about it on his podcast, but right. Basically it's this herb in Indonesia, and you can put it in tea, you can take it orally, and it kind of acts as like almost like Adderall, but like without all the other stuff.
Oh.
Or like coffee. I mean, it's kind of like a stimulant.
Right.
And Joe Rogan had a conversation. He's like, I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Kratom. So then like a week after his podcast airs, I started hearing all these people going around calling it Kratom.
Everybody's got that friend, you know, you go to the Italian restaurant and they're like, yeah, we'll get the bruschetta. You're like, bro, like, I get it. That's the way it's, but like, come on, we're in America. Like, stop. Just stop. So just as a bit of a get to know you, I mean, I've got your Instagram up in front of me. Highly active there. Obviously, everybody should go check out Dylan's Instagram. 138,000 followers. Mazel tov. Second photo in is Gary V throwing up the five, you throwing up the peace sign. Were you just at his conference?
No. We actually, I co-hosted an event here in Vegas, and it was called Growth Video, and he was one of the headline speakers. So that was a cool event.
What's it like getting Gary V to speak at a deal? Like, is there a lot of red tape to get him?
We were the last event he did before he raised his fees, which, just so everyone knows, is still a massive amount of money, like not just six figures, like, well, you know, wow. like well into that. But more importantly, he has a very big demand. Okay. His demand is one thing. There must be fresh blueberries for me to eat.
Like that's a thing. Like on his vlogs when he's like, I can out eat anybody in blueberries.
I see. I haven't heard that, but I guess that's the thing, is I guess he's known for that. So the blueberries are there, and he's like, he's going to town. I'm like, we're thinking like, were there enough blueberries? We hope there's enough blueberries. He's just going and going. So yeah, I think that's the one funny thing that actually, I guess is true, is he loves blueberries.
Oh, that's awesome. You're a marketing agency owner. So you're the founder of Agency Box and Mindful Agency. What's the difference between the two?
So Mindful Agency is my own marketing agency. We specialize in brand development, so both for personalities and companies, helping them go from 0 to 1 or from 1 to 10, depending on what level they're at in the game. And then Agency Box is a platform that other marketing agencies use, and we have a variety of tools there. So marketing agencies, we have a CRM they can use. It's free. We let people use the CRM forever. Other business owners come in just because they're like, oh, I heard there's a free CRM here, so they use it. We have lead scrapers, so you can generate prospects for your agency. email campaigns. You can send cold emails. And then the kind of the way we started was with fulfillment. So we offer white label fulfillment. Gotcha. So it's kind of like a whole suite of services of tools for other agency owners to use.
Gotcha. Yeah. In a world that, it's funny, like obviously you can see this white hair coming in the beard, not a young pup anymore, like old enough that I'm realizing that I should probably go for the annual physical now, but like young enough that I still feel like I can relate to the teenagers, that's where I'm positioned. But in that time, there's a point to that whole sidetrack. During that time, I've seen so many trends or hypes come in and out of the business world. And now we're in this phase of AI, ChatGPT, fire all your people, get the cheapest thing, whatever. What's your take from a marketing perspective on the landscape right now? Where are things headed? Are we at a place where AI and robots can take over everything? And if not, where should real people with heartbeats and air in their lungs be focusing their attention and efforts these days?
Yeah. So, speaking of white hair, right? I've got, I recently went a little more white just for a period of time here, but I am getting older. In fact, I actually had some hearing stuff. And so the intention, I had a hearing thing happen and I went to the doctor yesterday. They gave me steroids in my ear. And so my intention now is for the next 3 weeks that my hearing recovers fully and strong. And, it comes back to 100% in this ear. But that said, I too am getting old and I've seen a lot happening through the world of marketing as well. I've been doing this for about 7 years now, which to some people is not that long, but for me, that's a quarter of my life. there's a lot of fear around the idea of AI. In fact, right now there's two things that are happening in the marketing realm that are causing a lot of uncertainty for business owners, especially, small business owners, people who are, they have a small team, they're a solo operator. Maybe they have, a few, four or five people that work for them. Maybe they're a car dealership or, they're in the auto space. The thing is there's two things. One, content. They've seen this overwhelming amount of content happening where you're looking and seeing Home Depot, you're seeing Taco Bell making content on Instagram. You're seeing Walmart and Target right. having battles on TikTok of the comment battles.
Right, right.
And it's like, look, these old school companies are getting into the content game. Like, what's going on?
Right.
And so a small business owner can look at this and be like, how do I even compete? It's so overwhelming. Instagram just came out and they said, if you want to be promoted in our algorithm, you should be posting 5 times a day. You should Oof. Be posting X number of stories. It's like, that's not real for any business owner.
Right.
So it's like, that's one thing. The second thing is AI. It's like AI has been around for several years. I was using, right. you were probably using Jasper back, a year and a half ago. And back when it was, first started, that was like ChatGPT, and then ChatGPT publicly launched and it's been this whole hype. And it's like, okay, is everything I'm doing like going to have to move to AI? So right. I think just setting the landscape is there's a lot of uncertainty. I think here's the answer. One, things will always be changing in social media, content creation, all this stuff. If you just focus on creating value to the marketplace, either in your business, online, whatever it is, you'll outlive any cycle, any trend or any hype or any like dancing TikToks. That's not a thing anymore, but that's how people blew up. But the people who were just posting on TikTok, consistently, they've also gained followings.
Right.
So that's one thing. And then with AI, I think every business owner or every ordinary person should get good at using one text generation tool, meaning one platform. ChatGPT is kind of like the common one. Google has one too. But just get good at using one so that you're familiar with it. And then as it evolves, you'll start to see it evolving. But what's going to happen is they're adding new tools to AI like every month or so. So if you try to get into it in like a year or two, it's going to be overwhelming and confusing. So just start now, get used to it. And I think that's the solution of like, how do you stay on top of it with AI?
Yeah.
Sorry for the super long answer, but that's kind of where I see the landscape.
And it makes sense to me. I mean, the way I think of it is this. People are like, I've never used AI before. It's like, So you never used Google. Do you not, how do you say Google algorithm without admitting that there is AI, machine learning, rank brain, like all of the things that go along with search results? But what I think is hilarious about it, and to your point, is people have been using Google for decades. There are only a few, a small percentage, who actually truly know how to use it. And then there's the rest of us. You know what I mean? Like, there are people who know how to use Google, the like advanced ways of using Google. And then there's others that are like, pizza nearby, you know, like, it's just very basic. And so to your point, what I'm hearing you say is AI is a thing. It's obviously here. Where it ends up, unsure. However, get in now, and it's incumbent upon us to really learn how to use it. Like, go beyond, write me a 250 word article. Go beyond that. And you know, what I'm hearing you say is figure out how to get the most out of it that can help enhance your life, essentially.
Yeah. And what's happening. So, there's like two sides, right? There's like agency owners, mm-hmm. where it's like, what's going to happen to us? But then there's like business owners that are like, you know, what's going to happen to us? And so where things will move towards, I think anyone who sits and says AI is not going to affect them is either ignorant, like they don't know, or they're in denial. If you look at how far things have come in publicly speaking in the last 6 months or so,
right,
you would be foolish to say 25 years from now, AI is not going to be able to do 99% of things. So you can do one of, you can do either the B route or the N route, okay? And when I say this, the B stands for Blockbuster and the N stands for Netflix. You have a choice here. Do you choose to adapt, or do you want to stay and become the Blockbuster? It's your choice. You might be able to scrape by for the next 5 or 10 years, but 2 decades from now, you might be non-existent. You'll have one location up in Oregon as a museum.
Right. Interesting. Although interesting too, now that I think of it, and maybe I'm wrong, I got to look this up, but I'm pretty sure their block, like the Blockbuster website, just came back up and running. Oh yeah. It says you go to blockbuster.com right now at time of recording this, and it's the Blockbuster logo. And then it says, we are working on rewinding your movie. I'm like, that's interesting. What's happening there? That website's been down forever and ever and a day. What are they working on? Talk to me a little bit about Instagram. I mean, I'm on your Instagram. I can't get over, you know, you've had some tremendous
success. Can we just touch on Blockbuster one more time real quick?
Oh, yeah.
So what's really fascinating is that there's a guy by the name of Ty Lopez. Yeah. And he's an OG internet marketer.
Yep.
And he was going around buying up defunct brands, Pier 1, Circuit City.
Right.
There's a few more I can't think of off the top of my head. And he was turning them into like new brands. Same thing happened with LimeWire. I don't know if you remember or anyone listening, yes. But LimeWire was like the place where you'd go to, you know, as a teenager, get things that you didn't want your mom to see, or download music and movies and stuff like that. And so Blockbuster has a really good brand recognition. So someone is going to come along, and I think this is maybe just an idea, maybe resonates with one person. It's going to come around and actually be able to turn this into something. And look, there's opportunity everywhere to reinvigorate a dead brand.
This is, wouldn't it be funny if Ty Lopez was behind Blockbuster's revival? Yeah, because maybe LimeWire, man, I haven't looked up LimeWire forever. Hey, but it's still here.
Well, they came back. They're trying to figure it out, but they came back to do like some kind of Web3 thing, and then like crypto project. But what Ty's model is he takes these defunct brands,
yep.
and he turns them that were like physical stores that have brand equity, and turns them into e-commerce brands, which is, it's interesting. And what he actually does behind the scenes is he just gets people to subscribe to a $12 a month subscription, and uses like free shipping as kind of like the sucker into subscribing to this. Right. Yeah, there he is.
You know what's so funny about this, just kind of as an aside, I swear the other day I was like, what the heck happened to Tai Lopez? Because he came in hot. Like you couldn't go online without seeing this guy's face. And then all of a sudden it was like, what did he do? Like, I think he was big with, Grant Cardone for a while.
You scroll up. It's actually, you can see the top video there, him and Graham Stephan, who I was, a good buddy of mine. I was at tacos with him last night, but it's funny that popped up.
That's awesome. All right, Tai Lopez, we're covering territory here. I want to talk to you about, because I know like there's a big opportunity for car sales professionals in automotive where they can be building their personal brands and kind of a cool business model, because they can be a business within a business. Like they don't have to pay for the overhead, the product or anything. They can simply show up where the lights are already turned on. And so there's always this talk about how do they grow their social presence? And I mean, obviously, as I was researching you and learning more about, you know, your platform, I'm like, oh, dang, like 138,000 followers. That's not easy to come by. If you had to, because I mean, everybody starts at zero. How long ago was zero for you?
Zero was like, I mean, look, there's different evolutions. So zero was like when I started the page, which I don't know, probably in like high school or something.
Sure.
Probably 10 years ago. Let's call it.
Yep.
But, you know, I've been on to marketing stuff. So at the start, we used this tool that would basically follow, unfollow people. It was like a little software.
Gotcha.
You log into it, it would go around and just like people's photos randomly. And then people would see you. I got up to like 4,000 followers in like, you know, in like first year of college doing that. But the way I look at social media, so now obviously the things have changed now. And look, I'll be the first to say there wasn't 138,000 people that saw my content and were like, oh, this is interesting. Let me follow him.
Right.
There's methods and strategies you can use to be able to grow. And so the way I look at social media is just, it's a three-pronged thing. One, you need a baseline level of social proof for authority. So like if you're the car salesperson that's got 137 followers, or you're the car salesperson that's got 11,000 followers, like, I don't know, I'm sorry, but I'm probably going to buy from the guy who's got more followers just because it's tricking my psychology to think that he's more popular.
Mm.
So when you understand that we live in a society that is a little judgmental, we live in a society that social proof checks people, maybe you can lean into that. So authority. Second is the strategy in creating the content. And then the third is tapping into real audiences to grow. So, you know, we could break that down, but basically what you want to do. So for me, what I did was they had these things, these giveaways back in the day. Like I think some people still do them, but, what you would do is a celebrity would say, hey, I'm giving away an iPhone, go follow these 25 people to enter to win.
Right.
And then I'd be one of them. So I grew like my first 60,000 followers that way, was just to establish. I'm like, let me get over 50,000. It'll build that authority. And that was kind of what kickstarted it for me.
And then here we are. So, I mean, are you dialed into, you talked about audience a little bit. For you in particular, how do you go about identifying who to talk to?
Which, by the way, that strategy as I talked about, side tangent, is the same strategy that Grant uses, Grant Cardone, Gary Vaynerchuk uses, like literally every industry leader. These guys have 3-4 million followers. Do you really think that that Grant Cardone can get 3 million followers when there's A-list celebrities that like World Cup soccer players that have 800,000?
Right.
So start thinking about it. It's like, maybe that's not the case. And a lot of what you see on social media isn't what you perceive it to be.
Interesting. So not always like, that makes sense. I mean, I think it's worthwhile hearing that from somebody who actually has a follower account, because it's like what you see may not always be what it actually is below the surface.
And more interestingly, right, I've got 138,000 followers on there. I'm going to pull my Instagram. I'm going to show you something that's really fascinating. So I'll go into my insights here. And when I tap on my insights, what we'll see is that there's, over the last 30 days, there's been 300 and, it's going to be a little bit hard to see, but 300 and 373,000 people have seen my stuff. Of those, only 14,000 are my followers. Meaning the majority of people who see my stuff don't even know who I am.
Right.
Only 10% of my followers actually saw my stuff in the last 30 days.
Interesting.
So a lot of times we're creating, so talk about audiences, right? What we're doing is we're actually creating content. We're speaking to people who don't know us. The people that already follow us, the people that are already in our ecosystem, they would have either bought from us, unfollowed us, or they're probably our friend and they engage with us.
Right.
So what we're speaking to is that 90% of people that see our stuff that don't know who we are, the new people. There's a reason that Gary Vaynerchuk has a very clear fundamentals. He's going to buy the Jets one day. He started with wine in his family business, and his family, he's a family of immigrants. And you know these things about him because he speaks them on repeat day in and day out. And so what's that thing for you? Because again, we're trying to build instant trust, instant connection, and we want to start have people know us really quickly. But by, you know, people get caught up in this thing of like, oh, I don't want to like piss my people off by whatever, right, posting too much, emailing too much.
Yeah.
Like that's never the case. Like those people, the people who don't want to hear from you already unsubscribe from you.
Right.
So just post and consider the new people you can attract to you.
How do you know, like, this is a question we hear a lot. Like, how do you know if what you're choosing to talk about is something that's even worthwhile? You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about Gary V. At some point it clicked for him that he's like, I talk about buying the Jets, so a big goal aspiration. I talk about my humble beginnings and I talk about where I started, and that's going to resonate with people. I think, you know, a lot of people have this analysis paralysis where they're like, what do I even talk about to get started? What, how do you key in on that? What's your recommendation there?
Well, the best way to so I can give you my answer, right, based on my opinion, but the real answer is, what's the data say? And when I say data, data is what the people are saying.
Right.
So what are ways that you can go get data? One, so everything I do, right, I try to think like, I try to get the real answer of that, what the marketplace says, because otherwise it's just you and me BSing over a beer,
sure,
you know, and saying our opinion. So one, you can survey your current customers. Ask them what they want to hear you talk about. Ask what they want to know more of. If you have a business, you even if it's 3 customers, ask them. If it's 10 customers, ask them. But survey them. Two, post content and see what happens. The great thing about the algorithm is you can have 2 followers and get a video that gets 1 million views. But people think like I'm shadow banned. That's like almost never the case unless you're talking about something super controversial and these big tech giants decide to censor you.
Yep.
It's very rare,
right?
Unless you're super outspoken. So with that end, it's like, okay, what's the thing for you? Just post content. Trust me, you're not shadow banned. Your content just sucks. So keep posting until something sticks. And then the third thing to do is you can just ask people, right? Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? But be careful because people have their own biases.
Sure.
And sometimes we'll try to put that onto you.
Gotcha. I mean, I do this every now and again with my own content where I'm like, okay, that one hit and this one didn't. What is it? Like, should I be looking at it at that deep of a level or, and wondering why? Or,
dude, every platform is different though, right? So it's like, you'll have a video hit on YouTube that doesn't hit on TikTok. You're like, what the heck?
Right.
So I have a tool called, what's it called? So my team uses it. It's called IQ. It's like IQ Rebel or something like that. And what we did is we took 40 of in other people in the industry. You put their accounts in there and it shows us like, here's the videos for the week that hit the most. And we can start to see that the stuff happening super early on. In a scaled back version of that, you just follow the people in your industry and you just go to their page every few days and check. It's like, okay, which videos you scroll over, you look, which videos got the most views?
Sure.
And it's like, okay, this one did well. And you can basically use other people as your guinea pig to test what's working, what's not working, and just model the stuff that's working.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes total sense. And what I love about it is it's incredibly practical. You weren't sitting here going, hey, if you buy my $47 course, which is going to upsell you to my $99 course, which is going to upsell you to my $10,000 coaching program, which, by the way, those that can do that, mazel tov. But you're saying, hey, here's some practical things you can do, which is always so telling of, you know, of the individual. So I just want to say kudos to you for saying, hey, we use this software and here's what I would do. Cause you know, it sometimes I feel like the internet teleported many people to an alternate reality where stupidity was okay. So that's, you know, those are the types of things that we're always looking for on the podcast. But I got one last question for you, and it is turning it right back to you. How can those listening and watching learn more about you and what you offer?
DylanVanAss.com, DylanVanAss.com. If you want to connect with me directly, just, you can go to Instagram. My same name I just said on my .com on Instagram. Everything else is pretty much filtered before it gets to me, but I see like 99% of my DMs. So shoot me a message. I'd love to hear from you. And look, I will give and give and give until I have no time left to give. So if you get in front of me, there's a good chance I'll give you as much free value as I can.
Amazing, man. Thank you so much for joining me on the Dealer Playbook podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Michael Cirillo, and you've been listening to the Dealer Playbook podcast. If you haven't yet, please click the subscribe button wherever you're listening right now. Leave a rating or review and share it with a colleague. Thanks for listening.